Today we are going to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are going to talk about the third piece of armor when speaking on the armor of God. And before I get started, some of you may notice that the flyer and on the website and even on the screen says that we're supposed to really only be on the topic of the armor of God for the month of January. Well, some of you heard me say also in Wednesday night Bible study class that I had planned to be out of the book of James by the end of January as well. And for those of you who have been following the book of James, that Bible study, you know that we are just halfway through the first chapter. We've been at it hard for, I think we've had actually five Wednesdays in the month of January, and we have actually just got to half of the first chapter of James. I also want to say this. If you are on the pastoral board, if you are in minister's training, if you're even going to be a part of Pastor-elect Larissa Beasley's discipleship class, you are expected to be in Sunday school, Bible study, and church. Amen. And we are, something that I forgot to let people know is that when you don't show up for one of these services, I'm keeping track of that. This minister's class, I think, is going to be extremely explosive because I'm putting a whole lot on them, because I see the potential. Not that the other classes didn't have potential. They're awesome. But this class right here, because you're going to encounter a whole different type of warfare, I have to be as doubly hard on you as I was on the others. Amen? So yeah, we're halfway through the first chapter of James. And in this, what I have learned is to not put a time frame on God's word. Who am I to say that we're going to teach something in a month when it is that God has given me every study that we've, either it's Bible study or even if it's the sermon series, he's given me every topic that we speak on. So it would only make sense that I ask him, how long do you want me to preach and teach on this? Not, okay, I heard you, God, but this is the frame of time I'm going to give you because I'm trying to keep a schedule. How many of you are guilty of that? God tell you something, and then you say, okay, I'll do that, but here's how long I'm going to do it. This is as far as I'm going to go. You know, I know y'all say stuff like that because there's times when you come to me and you tired of doing something, you say, look here, I'm going to give you two more Sundays, but after that, it's over with. Well, honey, I wasn't the one to tell you to do it in the first place. The Lord told me to tell you to do it. So if you got a problem with that, you take it up with management. I'm just in sales. Lord, have mercy. So I've learned not to put a time frame on God's word. So from now on, I will no longer be putting a frame of time on our series, whether it be the sermon series or the Bible study series. We will just get in those series until God says we're done. And you should be glad about that as a person of God, right? As a person that is growing and maturing in Christ, you should be glad about that. And why? Because that means that you are getting absolutely what God wants you to get. And if God wants you to have it, then it must mean that you're going to eventually need it. Think about that. If God wants you to have something to the point to where he says, don't be putting no frame of time on this, they need to get every bit of this, then it could only mean he wants you to have it. He's intense about that because he understands what you're going to be coming up against. Lord, have mercy. Now, let that sink in for a minute. And then ask yourself this question. Do you really want to rush through a teaching about the armor of God? I mean, let's think about it a little deeper. What is the armor for? The armor is for protection. Protection from what? Protection from everything that the enemy is going to throw at us. Now, how is it that you should ever want someone to rush through a teaching that's going to keep you? And maybe you have a problem believing that it's a teaching that's going to keep you because none of the other teachings kept you. But the reality was they didn't keep you because you was rushing through them. They didn't keep you because you was looking at your watch wondering how long was he going to do it before he let us get up out of here. You understand what I'm saying to you? Some of you just came so that you could check it off of your list of weekend things to do. And I'm feeling kind of Christian-y because I went to church and I went to Bible study at least once in that month. And just as there is a process or a formula for victory, there is also a formula for defeat. Oh, God. Now, I want to show you real quick why all of this is important. And I'm going to show you real quick why for so many of us, before we were with God, we were taking loss after loss. But even more importantly, I'm going to show you why since we've been coming to church, it seems like we have continued to take loss after loss. But if you will listen to this and then apply and give time for these principles to develop in you, you will experience victory on a whole other level. See, the problem is that some of us are coming and we're wanting it right now. It amazes me that you give the microwave more time than you give God. Talk, Pastor. If the popcorn bag says 1.5 to 3 minutes before it's done, you don't go in there in 45 seconds and snatch the bag out of the microwave, and even though it ain't got nothing but over a half a bag of seeds and 26 kernels, you don't say, ooh, that's enough for me. No, you wait the whole 1.5 to 3 minutes, no matter how hungry you are, no matter how bad you've been craving it, no matter how deep in the movie that you've gotten, and you feel like you're going to miss it if you allow it to go for a whole 3 minutes, you wait because you want to have the whole experience of the bag of popcorn. Amen? But when it comes to the things of God and letting these things that God teaches us and hopes that we will apply to our lives, when it comes to those things, right, we begin to say, I can't wait for that. I can't afford to be patient. He might not stay around. Oh, God. I can't stand to be obedient. You know, I'll do it for a month, but if things get shaky, I got to let it go and get back to doing it the way that I used to do it. And my response to that is, how was you used to doing it turning out for you? In fact, if the way that you used to do it was working out for you, then why are you trying it this way? Let's take it deeper. And you tried it that way before and it didn't work. So, but you give the microwave more time because you believe in the microwave more than you believe in God. Stand up. Everybody, stand up. Sit down. Everybody, stand up. Sit down. Everybody, stand up. You're going to exercise this week. Sit down. Now you're going to be disobedient? Sit down. Pastor, why'd you have us do that? Just show you something. That you got more faith in the chairs than you got in God. Because none of you did this. And if you did, it's only because your hips hurting. Well, for 3 consecutive times, you stood up. Now, we looked at Ashley and 2 of the crew over there, and we was like, he great, get them. But the reality is, she petered it. Remember when they was on the storm? It was a storm and it was crazy, and the disciples was all distraught and without faith. And Peter said, and the Lord said, be of good cheer. I know you're going through it. I know it's scary. I know it's got you all discombobulated, but I want you to be of good cheer, for it is I. And Peter said, you know, if it's you, Lord, then bid me to come out and walk on the water. And the Bible says that he climbed, and the Bible says that Jesus said, come. And then the Bible says that he came down out of the boat. In other words, it was a crazy storm. This wasn't a row, row, row your boat. This was a barge. They were professional fishermen, so storms shouldn't scare them. They've been dealing with storms all their life, but this was a particular storm that was greater than most of the other storms that they have ever encountered. And Jesus said, come. And Peter said, you ain't got to threaten me with a good time. And he climbed down, and he began to walk on the water. I want you to understand, I applaud you for standing up. Here's the reason, because watch this, I've got to, before I keep standing up and sitting down, I'm going to stand up to see where we're going with this thing. Watch this, this is going to bless you. If some of you would just stand up for a minute when your circumstance and situation is trying to get you to demonically sit down, if you would just hold on for a minute, so I'm going to stand for a minute and just kind of watch what's happening here, because every time I sit down, something happens to where I got to stand back up again. So what was proven here today was that y'all got chair faith, but not God faith. Just stood up, sat down. You know what's even worse than that? These chairs are new. You knew the green chairs better than this chairs, than the blue chairs, and you still respected the blue chairs more than you respected faith in God. I dare somebody to say, God, my bad. So since we've been coming to church, it seems like you have continued to take loss after loss. But if we'd listen, I said it before, I'm gonna say it again, and you would apply and give these principles time to develop in you, you will experience victory on a whole other level. See, some of the problem is with some of us in here today is that we get saved and then we like, the lust gotta be gone immediately. You get saved, you walk out of here like, lust ain't gonna never dictate my emotions no more, dictate my agenda no more. It ain't gonna dictate my tomorrow night no more. And then you get home and you done got saved and you're feeling good and you might as well. And now you stop posting on Facebook because everybody's asleep and you ain't gonna get no attention out of Facebook no more for the rest of the night. And then you're sitting down and then you find out something. Lust is still there. Oh God, what we gonna do now? Hold on. Gossip, the spirit or the desire to gossip is still there. Hold on. I thought that if I got saved, all of the evil in me would be done away with. No, baby, you just got saved. Now you making steps towards not being a bad example for the kingdom of God. But if you will allow the Bible to set up shop on the inside of you, and develop on the inside of you, like you allow the popcorn kernels or seeds, that you give them the 3 minutes that they need to develop into what it is that you find to be scrumptious. Guess what? You will walk on a line of victory that you've never seen before in your life. Yeah. So let's deal with some things. Let's first deal with a lot of the reasons that people come to church, watch this, and can come to church on a regular basis, but never change, have never experienced victory, and a big part of that is because without knowledge, there will always be ignorance. Okay? Without knowledge, there will always be ignorance. And as I've said so many times before, you don't have to be upset or angry about being ignorant in certain things, because ignorance can always be remedied through what? Say it again. Through what? Through knowledge. And a lot of people get offended when you use the word or the term ignorant when you shouldn't. In fact, let's look at the definition for the word ignorant. Ignorant means lacking knowledge, information, or awareness about a particular thing. So I'm ignorant on a lot of things. If you ask me to change a set of brakes, as easy as that might be for some of y'all, it's not for me, because I lack knowledge on that topic. If you ask me to fly an airplane, I can't do it because I lack knowledge in that area. But if I am willing to take the time on how to change the brakes, and if I'm willing to take the time on how to learn how to fly the airplane, I no longer lack the knowledge necessary to complete those tasks. Beloved, it is the same thing with the kingdom of God, with the word of God. If we would take the time to read and understand and ask questions, we would know how to do do this thing called Christianity. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Don't get upset if I say that some of us are ignorant to the word. You shouldn't be upset about that. But if I look across the room, and I'm not, I promise, but if I look across the room and I say some of y'all are just stupid, then you got a right to be upset. Guess what, though? Not with me, with yourself. See, oh, you better make it plain, because I see some people over here ready to jump me. Okay, so just give me 10 seconds and I'll make it make sense. So if I look across the room and I know you and I know that you're still struggling on the strength of the things that you're struggling over, but I also know that you know the truth, but you ain't done the truth, that makes you stupid. And the only person that you can be mad about being stupid is... Y'all finished all my other sentences, but you don't want to finish that one, huh? See, when I know I'm wrong, but I still do wrong, that's stupid. When I know wrong and I continue to do wrong, though I know that wrong is going to cost me and cost who I'm connected to, that is stupid and inconsiderate of the one that it's going to cost because they're connected to you. If God is wanting to give you something, it's because he knows that you are going to need it. So since God wants us to have the armor of God, his armor of him, then the question becomes, what do we need this armor of God for? And the reason we need the armor of God is because we are in a war. And when you are in a war, there will be certain things to keep you alive. You're going to need certain things that will keep you alive in the war. Now, catch this. This series is on the armor. Could be considered boring. Mm-hmm. Y'all want to know why we get a lot of visitors and then they don't come back? And they will tell you on Facebook. They'll tell you on Instagram. They'll tell you in your face. They'll text it to their buddies and their friends. They'll tell you, oh, I went to Unity and it was the bomb. I mean, I'm talking about, they love God over there. I can feel it in my spirit. I ain't going back, though. Because I walk out of there and I feel some type of way about myself. Because I walk out of there and I understand that I'm not ready to go through what's preached over that way, that's received over that way, what they're applying to themselves over that way, and I just be feeling like when he's talking that everybody see me. They the bomb, but I ain't ready for it yet. We had a hater. You know, when you doing it God's way, you'll get haters. And one of the haters went on Facebook and said some crazy stuff like, well, if something wrong that they've been together, they've been formulated that long and they ain't really packed out the house yet. I said, yeah, you're right. Something is wrong. Folk don't listen. Folk like you. Not you. Like her. You hear the word. Why didn't you stay, baby? You said we teach the word, then why didn't you stay? Because what we was teaching, you wasn't trying to keep. And so to justify your foolishness by leaving, you deflect the blame on us. But you over at that Kool-Aid teaching church. 2024, I'm committing war against anything that's playing with God. Yeah. Satan, we're going to find you and tear your kingdom down. Yeah, we not waiting for the war. We not waiting for, oh, I'm ready if it come against me. I'm ready. Oh, I got on the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, my feet is shod with the presence, with the gospel of peace. Oh, I'm ready. I got the girdle of truth around my waist. And when it come for me, no, baby. We going back to that 70s faith when them old faith used to say, Satan, wherever we sniff you, we going to find you. And we are going to tear your kingdom down. The problem with waiting for evil to come to you is that you give evil the time to grow. You give evil some time to get muscles. No, baby, we come to kill you on sight. Always amazes me that we can bash one another, but we won't bash Satan. Somebody put that on Facebook. It amazes me that we can bash each other, but we won't. Now check this out. Oh, Lord, watch this. So when we do a series like this on the armor of God, and we do Bible study series on the book of James and stuff like that, and people could, you know, they could think that that's boring. They could think that's boring. And let me tell you why some think like that. Because a lot of the reason they think like that is because of faulty teaching. See, pastors have taught people how to shout. They've taught them how to dance, but they never taught them how to fight. Lord have mercy. They told them that if you dance, that's a fight. The devil is a lie. They told them if you can shout in the hell, that's a fight. No, it ain't. Because truth be told, the shout that you shout might not be a shout of confidence. It might be a shout of, I am losing this battle. Lord have mercy. And so they taught you how to shout, and they taught you how to dance, and but they didn't teach you how to fight, and they never taught you about the armor, how to wear the armor, and how important the armor is. So you know how to dance and shout, which is oftentimes a sign of celebration. So watch this: we ready for a celebration, but we haven't learned how to get the victory. What are you dancing about if you still broken? What are you dancing about if you still depressed? What are you dancing about if you still You understand what I'm saying to you? If you still have no understanding of the word of God, what are you dancing about? And your kids is out here getting high. What are you dancing about if your daughters is out here dating daughters? And what are you dancing about if men are out here dating men? And you understand what I'm saying? What are you dancing about? There's been a divorce in the church. I was talking to my brother the other day, a fellow pastor in the gospel, and we was talking about how there's been a divorce in the church, and the divorce took place. And when the divorce took place, that's when education divorced revelation, and revelation divorced education. And so what happened was education, which got all about education. You know, they can tell you from front to back what the scriptures mean. They can teach it to you in Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. But the problem with the education is all they focus on is the education. And since all they focus on is education, they don't get into the revelation. They don't go into the spirit realm. They just teach what makes sense. Oh, God. You understand what I'm saying to you? And the problem with the ones that deal with the revelation, they don't really study the Bible, so they have no biblical education. Watch this. So they dance when they're broken. They dance when they're depressed. They dance when they're on the edge of suicide. They're dead. Oh, God, y'all don't hear me in here. They dance when they should be fighting. Too much faulty teaching going on. So watch this. We dance, but we ain't learned how to get the victory. And so we lose battle after battle, but we're dancing. We are stuck in depression, brokenness, and low self-esteem and suicidal thinking. But watch this, and suicidal thoughts, but we're dancing and shouting and celebrating in the church. But when we get home, when we get outside of the church, and Satan and life begins to body blow you and body blow you and body blow you again and again and again, you're no longer dancing and shouting because you're back in the mode of being a victim. And the problem with being in the mode of a victim is that you've been in the mode of a victim so long, when you go back into victim mode, you don't realize that this ain't right until you get around people who have graduated out of victim mode. Oh, God, help me in here. And you remember that you don't have the victory. And then you come to a church like Unity, where we are more concerned about you being prepared for war than your dancing and your shouting. And you go through a thing called culture shock. Because over here, ain't nobody concerned about how good you looking while you dancing and shouting. We too busy trying to make sure that you are good. I don't care how good you look. I want to know that you are good. If I die here tonight, I want to die knowing that everything that's set up under me understands that for God we live. And it's culture shock because folk been used to this hoop and cheap entertainment and prophesying and all of that. But over here, we're saying, write this down. Over here, we're saying, underscore this. Right here, we're saying, turn your Bibles to. Right here, well, you understand what I'm saying to you? Over here, we ain't talking about dancing. Right over here, we ain't speaking in tongues and don't even know what we're saying ourselves. Y'all ain't hearing me up in here, up in here. And if you will take the teachings and apply them and stand on them, you will experience victory. You will experience victory and breakthrough. And if you dance, it'll be because you finally experienced a win, not some emotional moment that some pimp in a make-believe pulpit done finessed you into. off with the head of the enemy. Lord, have mercy. That's the problem in the body of Christ. We got too many pimps in the pulpit. Fleece in the sheep. You trying to figure out why you ain't gained no weight in the kingdom of God? Because baby, he's just been feeding you blow up. And if you from the streets, you understand. Oh God, I don't want no blow up. If I'm gonna spend my money, you better have that A1. You better have that butter, baby. You better have that thing that's gonna take me through when it don't seem like I'm gonna ever make it through. I promise I'm saved. For all these beautiful visitors, I promise I'm saved. Amen. We don't dance around here unless we done won. Dancing in church and you ain't got no victory is equivalent to going to a club but you ain't paid your light bill. I want to show you the book of Romans. The book of Romans chapter 10 verses 14 through 15, the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. And it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings of good things. Let's rock with that in the New Living Translation. It says, watch this. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells him? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? The problem is in this 21st century westernized church is that we got too many people who went but wasn't sent. Ah, Lord, you missed that. Watch this. And that's why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is we not playing over here. And if you want it, it's here for you to have and you can have all of it. But all you have to do is be willing to die to your flesh and commit to his way. And then you can dance about a real victory. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me get back to task. I'm almost done, I promise. Today we're going to talk about the third piece of the armor. And we're going to find that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, and it says, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Underscore number 15. Verse number 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse number 18, praying always. Underscore that. Praying always. Notice he says, praying always. We're talking about armor, which means we're talking about war. And he don't say, and watch this, he ain't say, cry always. Always. Notice he don't say, always be the one that need a hug when hell's going on. He don't say none of that. He says, pray, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all things. Catch this. We have dealt with the waist being girded with the truth, and we've talked about the breastplate of righteousness. So today, what we're going to deal with is having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I want to rock with it from the Amplified Version, if that's all right. Watch this. It says, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation, in parentheses, to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. Lord, have mercy. It's a whole lot right there. It's a whole lot right there. It's a whole lot that's in that purse, that piece right there. And I want you to catch something. I want you to catch something off the dribble. It says in verse number 15 of the Amplified Version, it says, having strapped on your feet the gospel of the peace in preparation. Oh, God, watch this. And you need to write this down. Your spiritual clothing is intentional. Catch that. Your spiritual clothing is intentional. Watch this. Your spiritual clothing don't have to match. Your spiritual clothing don't have to match, but it's the dopest name brand that you could ever have. It don't say Gucci. It don't say Fendi. It don't say Versace. You understand what I'm saying to you? But the name brand on this clothing says Armor of God. Oh, God. So if you into brands, ain't no brand like the brand of the Armor of God. Amen. And so watch this. You need to understand that it's your spiritual clothing is intentional. And Paul said, strap up. Get them shoes of peace on. And don't get it twisted. Don't think that we are, these are shoes. Now watch this. I want you to catch this. Because see, in Bible study, we've been learning. Everybody was tripping when we found out what blessed really meant, right? Because we took blessed meant something coming our way. But we didn't understand that blessed really meant giving me the ability to stand under the hell and high water that the enemy is throwing against me. Being able to sit under it, to hold my stance, to not fumble, to not give up, to not break down, to not compromise. And when we begin to learn that blessed meant that, it gave you a whole nother strength when it came to something in the Bible. Because now you understood this ain't meaning that somebody gonna pull you out. This means that you can stay under. Lord, how much? Watch this. So don't get, I want you to understand about this peace. He says, strap up, get them shoes of peace on. And get this, don't think that they were shoes of peace because they were peaceful towards the enemy. That is not what he's saying. No. We ain't got nothing but smoke for the enemy. We ain't trying to say, if you'll chill, we'll chill. Because truth be told, if that's the case, then we can't snuff him out wherever he is and then tear his kingdom down. No. Like I just said, when it comes to the enemy on sight, I'm not waiting for you to swing at me. I'm coming for you to tear the kingdom down. So if I'm coming for you to tear the kingdom down, then watch this. My shoes of peace can't be to be at peace with the one that's not at peace with me. Oh, God. The peace. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So watch this. So Paul says, strap them up and get them on. And but watch this, you got to be careful because the enemy, he got smoke too. And this war is the greatest, deadliest, most vicious war that you will ever be a part of. And so Paul says, strap them shoes of peace on. And the shoes of peace are for when you are going through hell and high water, you stay focused, for you to be able to stay rooted, for you to be able to not be thrown off, for you to not buckle under the pressure. Beloved, I promise you that you are going to see some things in this war. Oh, God, you are going to be put through some things in this war. There's going to be some moments in this war that's going to try you in everything you hold dear, but on the strength of your shoes, my God, y'all ain't hearing me in here. On the strength of your shoes, when you are strapped with the shoes of peace, it don't make no never mind what the enemy is throwing your way. The shoes of peace to me simply are a memory. Oh God, they are shoes that say to you that in the heat of the battle, remember we've been here before. Remember it's been crazy before. Remember we was almost flatlined before. But all I've got to do with my shoes of peace, with hell trying to come at me at every side, is step down in the ground and decide that I'm going to be rooted, decide that I shall not be moved, to decide that if this is what you want, then baby, come get it. Because we ain't running, we ain't hiding, we ain't folding, we ain't ceasing, we ain't backpedaling, and we ain't backing up. For God I live, and for God I...
I need you to understand
that the shoes, they keep me in memory mode. It's something about peace. Watch this. Sit down. I'm almost done, I promise. It's something about the shoes of peace. And having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation. Watch this. In preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. Watch this. See, it's knowing the word of God that you can stand flat-footed when everything is coming up against you. It's about something about knowing the word of God that when the enemy throw all of you, throw all at you that he's got to throw, and ain't say that you ain't scraped up. I ain't said you ain't gonna get banged up. I ain't say that every now and again you might dip, but you gonna get back up. Because watch this, your shoes don't allow you to move. I might go over to the side. I might lean, but these shoes, they're keeping me planted. These shoes are giving me a strength that I've never had before. These shoes ain't for dancing. These shoes ain't for being pretty. These shoes ain't so that people can say, look at them shoes. These shoes is to keep me when hell is coming all around me. These shoes is to keep me when the doctor's report should throw me off. These shoes. These shoes. These shoes. These ain't no... You just can't go anywhere and get these shoes. You had to have been through some hell to wear these shoes. You've had to have some trying times to wear these shoes. You've had to sit in a position where it don't look like you're going to come out this thing of all to be able to wear these shoes. And when you get sized for these shoes, that means you've been through something. When you get sized for these shoes, that means that you've been prosperous. When you get sized for these shoes, that means that you've been victorious. When God allows you to step into these shoes, it means because you've matured in your faith, and nothing will make you fold. The soldiers back in these days, biblical days, they had shoes that reminded you of cleats. They reminded you of cleats. And if anybody's ever played football in here before, one of the advantages of having cleats is that when you step, you plant. You dig in. You step, you don't slip. When you step, you dig in. When you step, you get rooted. I need you to understand that when every hell begins to announce its entrance into your life, you got on a pair of shoes that will speak on your behalf. That when hell pops up and says, yo, yo, I'm here, your shoes begin to, all of a sudden, you begin to take a position that you've never taken before. When hell begins to come your way, all of a sudden, your body becomes out of your control. That's why sometimes you can be around haters and you ain't figured out they're haters yet. But something about your body go, Transformers, watch what's going on. Strange weed in the garden. Watch for everything that don't look like you. Watch for everything that don't talk like you. Watch for everything that don't think like. We got strange weed. Yo, oh God, some of you ought to just bless God and say, thank you for my shoes. It's the peace, Pastor. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the peace. Jesus said, it's the peace that I give you. Not the world. The world didn't give it to you. And the world can't take it. You know you rocking with that peace when everybody around you in your life all of a sudden wants to give you depression. When they want to remind you, you should be broken. There's people coming for your peace. And you got to love you and them enough to tell them, listen here, I love you. But our relationship doesn't give you the ability to dump on me negatively every time you see me. Why you always act like something's going on with you. I mean, you make some type of face every time I show up, and you can't explain to them that when they show up, I didn't see it coming, and the face that you get, it's because what's happening on the inside of you is saying, I see you. I see you. In 2024, if you're going to make it, if all of your aspirations, resolutions, and promises that you've already begun to lie about, that you've already begun to give up on, that you've already, watch this, are you ready? That you already are self-loathing yourself about because you are allowing yourself to continue to be in the same situation you was this time last year already. I want to tell you, get your shoes on. That Bible, Papa, what I'm learning, Jeff, what I'm learning is that every bit of the armor is only leading you back to God, to the Word of God. Every bit of the armor, where it looks like a plural situation, it's really individual. The Word of God. See, it's something about having the Word deep down on the inside of you. Then when hell comes your way, you just don't fold. You don't get scared. You don't compromise. And you're going to need these shoes of peace because in this war, there's going to be some things. In the words of ghetto theologian Tupac Shakur, you're going to see some things sometimes that's going to make it hard to smile. And when those days come, watch this, you can't put your shoes on. They're going to have already been on. And the reason why he says strap them, watch this, is because when they're strapped on, they don't come off so easily. And he wants them strapped on, watch this, and once they're strapped on properly, I feel your Holy Spirit. Once they're strapped on properly, they ain't easy to take off. This is one of the pieces of armor that you keep on at all times. Because that peace, how does the peace work, Pastor? Here it is. Everything is coming up against you. The enemy tells you that don't nobody love you. Ain't nobody with you. You just feel so lonely. And then the shoes say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When the enemy begins to tell you that you're not enough, I don't know why I keep looking for love because I'm not worthy of love. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And when the word begins to rally up inside of you, all of a sudden, you stop going crazy. All of a sudden, you begin to remember who you are and whose you are. And when you begin to remember who you are and whose you are, and when you begin to remember that if he did it before, then he'll do it again. And if you begin to remember that he said that I have adopted you, and you can speak to me, Abba, Father, you can talk to me like a child, and I got you. To remember that he can do all things but fail and lie. All of a sudden, the bully don't look so bad. Ka-ka! Some of you don't understand what I just did, but if you was on the Facebook page last night, that's why you should get on there. Some of you don't want to be on Facebook, and I don't agree. I don't blame you. I don't want to be on there either, but I got a mission on there. But you got to get on your family's page because you'll understand that. Ka-ka! This is why I don't bring visitors because he be doing stuff that don't make no sense. Ka-ka! When you begin to understand that Satan rocks with a cap gun, ka-ka! It can spook you, but it can't hurt you.
You ever been at a track meet and that thing, kaka, and you?
It can scare you, but it ain't got the power to stop you. I prophetically declare that in this season of hell that you're already going through, some of you are depressed more than normal because you're looking at it like it's just the second month of the year and it's already crazy. I want you to understand, beloved, it's just a smokescreen. The Lord said, tell you, if you will hold on, ka-ka, flinch, but don't fall. It can't hurt you. If you begin to show confidence in this season and stand for God, this season will quickly come to an end. And what's behind this season is incredible. It is incredible. It could look horrific. Walk through it. Leader. 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 Yeah. And you've been thinking that the enemy's been winning because you ain't where you're supposed to be in God. But I got a question. Is the enemy really winning? Or is he just desperate? Is the enemy winning? Or does he know what you don't about you? He's throwing everything but the kitchen sink. Duh, there went the sink. It's desperation. He's not winning. And for years, he's been punking you out with a pop gun, with a cap gun. But if you'll stand true this season, if you'll stand strong this season will flee away. The Bible said, flee from the enemy, and the enemy will flee from you. Do you know why some of you do more time with the enemy than what you should? It's because instead of flee from him, you fellowship with him. You fellowship with what you should be fleeing from. I declare, these shoes of peace, they'll bring you the victory. These shoes of peace, they'll give you what you need. These shoes of peace, you will not falter with them. God bless you.